Okay, today is November 12th, 2014. My name is Kathleen Conti, and I'm here interviewing Faye Stevenson. And could you say your name again and spell it?
Oh, I'd be happy to. My name is Faye Stevenson. That's S-T-E-P-H-E-N-S-O-N. I'm living here in Wisconsin after being born and raised in Staten Island, New York, in 1928, the date of my birth.
Great. Okay. So you were, your daughter said that your parents immigrated here from Sweden?
My parents were the first to settle in New York area. They came to Staten Island. My grandmother and grandfather came here during and then a little bit before World War I. My grandfather was a laborer. They came initially to Maine because they knew some people who had come over from Sweden, and it was a place to go when you don't know a country.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was 11 years old when they came. They came to Vinyl Haven, Maine. My mother was, as I said, 11 years old, and her sister was 9. And they started their life in the U.S. in this very rural, nice place. They helped their parents with the language barrier, and over the period of time, they learned English. Because of, I guess, financial issues, they moved south from Maine to Staten Island and started up a business in terms of getting housing built. They were carpenters. So my grandfather worked on a house, my uncle worked on a house, and initially my husband got involved with the building of houses on Staten Island. At the time I was old enough, I started school. Well, now I got all the way from Maine and I didn't even get to the first grade. But my schooling was on Staten Island because my parents had by then settled.
Mm-hmm.
The area that we lived in was in many ways part of their culture, because there were a lot of Scandinavians in the area. The schooling was close by. I, as the grandchild slash child, could walk to school. Many of the children that I came in contact with were parts of families that had migrated from the Scandinavia. So I got part of that culture in growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the friends that I got in contact with when I was in grade school were Swedish. We belonged to a Swedish club, and we'd have get-togethers with these people who had also migrated from Sweden. So it was a very tight group in terms of who you were with or were not with. This was during the 30s. My grandmother and grandfather lived with us till the late 30s, and then they decided to go back to Sweden.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Do you know why they decided to go back to Sweden?
Well, they I guess they wanted to, well, they, see, the house that they we all lived in was my mother and dad's house. My dad was a carpenter, so he built a house, and
mm-hmm.
Grandma and Grandpa lived there, and I guess they thought, well, the heck with this, we'll get our own place. So they went back to Sweden, and this was be in the, oh, God, like 38, 37, 38, 39, in mm-hmm. that area. So they went back to Sweden. My father's brother and my mother's sister married each other. So two brothers married two sisters. And Uncle Einar and my Aunt Svea
mm-hmm.
thought, well, that's not a bad idea. So they went back to Sweden with my cousin Mona,
mm-hmm.
who, now all of us lived together because this is right after the war, not right before the war, and it was a way that people made it a go of things. They just, I mean, you're a carpenter, how much extra money do you have to travel across the ocean? You don't have that much.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay. Here we are. Everybody's going back to Sweden except my mother and dad. Mm-hmm. My mother was a secretary.
Do you remember where she worked?
Pardon me?
Where was she a secretary at?
She was secretary for a law firm and started out just doing dictation and what have you, and then became a secretary. And then my dad, as I said, was a carpenter. Not the whole time, but he worked at the shipyards in New York. I want to say foreigner, but I guess that's not good. But he was a foreigner.
Foreigner's a fine word.
He had to make his, to him it was very important that he belonged to the Union
mm-hmm.
because that gave him an identity when it came to getting a job.
Right.
Even though he had a home, part of the issue for people from the other side was to be recognized as a reliable, good person to have. You want someone like that to work with you.
Right.
And it worked for him. Well, okay, where am I? Okay, everybody went back to Sweden except my mother and dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to grade school, high school, and then, as I mentioned earlier on, when the war was over in 1945,
mm-hmm.
I came to school at the University of Wisconsin here in Madison.
Mm-hmm.
And I started at age, just turned 17. My birthday was in August, my 17th birthday. And then I started here at the university. I started here because I had a teacher in high school who had been here as a summer add-on in terms of her, what she was doing with her life. And she came back to Staten Island and was so excited about the University of Wisconsin.
Wow.
And talked incessantly about what a wonderful place to go. And if I could go, that's where I should go. Well, I was a good student, so I could go any place I wanted in terms of being accepted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, I had thought maybe I'll go to Cornell. Maybe I'll go here, maybe I'll go there. But she was so insistent about those of us who were going to go on to school.
Mm-hmm.
Because in those days, not everybody went to school. Particularly, I mean, you were on that other ladder. And for my parents, it was most important that I get an education because they had missed out on a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to come to the University of Wisconsin. Mother knew a friend where she worked, and she had a cousin who had an apartment right off the square. And I was able to get a room.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first 6 months of school, I lived out there on Broome Street.
Okay.
I walked to the university. I was young, so you know, you can do anything. And no difficulty getting into a starting program at the U.
Mm-hmm.
I was a person interested in the arts. I set up so that I became a university, not a university, a student of the home ec area,
mm-hmm.
and took a lot of courses in that area so that I could come back to New York and take over the world. In the summertime, I tried to get jobs in areas where there was a need for young people, but yet also the fact that I had a background of language,
mm-hmm.
which helped.
Did you grow up being bilingual? And
yeah. And then, of course, when I went to school, I'm not bragging.
But you can brag. It's okay to brag.
Yeah, okay. I had language.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I could make my Spanish do if mm-hmm. I needed to have Spanish. I could make my French do if I needed it. And, of course, my Swedish.
Right.
So, okay, here I am at the University of Wisconsin in home ec. And in the summertime, I would get on the train and go back home. And my thought was that I would work for one of the big stores. And I chose Lord & Taylor because that's where I had shopped when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did.
And it's a department store.
Yeah, worked in a department store. And that I did the first year and the second year, and it was my way of, number one, getting money, because I had to have money to help my parents put me through school. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any other source.
Was there a scholarship, or were you just paying the tuition?
You know, we paid tuition, and I say, I think that my mother's boss, who was a really nice man, probably padded things to mm-hmm. help her. You know, I lived in a nice place on North Francis Street here in Madison.
Mm-hmm.
About two blocks this side of the Union.
Okay.
The was very comfortable area to be in because I could walk to all of the buildings where I had classes.
Mm-hmm.
And it just became very comfortable for me to be here at school. And as I said, in the summertime, I would then go home to New York and work in a department store, because that's what I was going to be when I grew up.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
Well, I wanted to be a designer.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to work in merchandising. I enjoyed that. So when I was at the home ec school here, I took an awful lot of courses which would push me in that direction.
What, do you remember what sort of courses they were?
Like, well, I took, you know, back then in the good old days, you had to take the basics. You had to take the sciences.
Mm-hmm.
I think because it was so new to everybody, here were all these strange people coming from strange places to get this different education.
Were a lot of your classmates from Wisconsin, or were they from other places?
Other places.
What was that like?
That was interesting, because the one thing that I noticed, that the professors were... You know, their idea was, well, why are you here? You know, and I guess the whole thought process of coming from Staten Island, New York, to the University of Wisconsin, and deciding you're not taking over the world, but you're getting into an area which normally is not part of what you do when you're Swedish,
mm-hmm.
or not an alien, but I'm...
The daughter of immigrants, is that?
Very good, daughter of immigrants, which I didn't, you know,
mm-hmm.
I just did it. I was very lucky, because I got good teachers and I got good grades. So I graduated when I was 20.
Wow, so you graduated in 3 years?
Well, I graduated. See, I started school in September.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was that year, 2, 3, and then I graduated like in June, so it was before my 21st birthday.
Okay.
The only reason, it was 4 years, but mm-hmm. I started, like I said, when I was young.
Right.
Which is fine.
Yeah. Do you remember what some of your favorite courses were?
I liked all of the design courses. I liked, I enjoyed drawing similes of things that I had designed. What you do when in the home ec, and of course, keep in mind, this was so many years ago,
mm-hmm.
but you could express yourself, and it was nice to be able to draw a picture of what you thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they do that today.
Yeah.
But that's... So I went out back to New York and started a job.
Could you tell me a bit more about what it was like to go to college right after the end of World War II?
It was a lot of young people, a lot of interaction with people who had not before thought about going to the university.
Mm-hmm.
These were not all Swedes from Staten Island, but these were people who, the young men who were going to school were there because this was part of what they thought they should get for having been in the war.
Mm-hmm.
My husband had been in India, and his involvement overseas was with that culture. other people that I got to know over, but you get to know them in the different classes.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you are Scandinavian, it all goes together, because you may be at dinner and you meet someone who, oh, you're Swedish, and then you maybe do a little talking. I don't know if it was just because of the time and place, but I think that you got exposed to other cultures very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were others just like you who were making a road for themselves. And as it was, I met a young man, and when I was ready to graduate, that was it. He was going to go, because he was with the war. As I said, he had been over in India, mm-hmm. and he was back, and he was still had more schooling to do. And I went home.
What was his name?
Roger Stevenson.
How did you meet him?
I met him through his cousin. I met his cousin at the Rathskeller at the Union. And we were dancing, and he said something about that I was really too young to be out dancing with him, but I should meet his cousin.
Mm-hmm.
So he dragged Roger into the picture, and it was right. It was right. Then at the end, I went home to Staten Island, and he said goodbye, and it was about a week later he called and said, no, that wasn't going to work.
He missed you?
Yeah, he missed me. And he said, we have to get married. I said, we do? He said, yep. He said, we have to. So we got married. His mother and he came out to Staten Island, and we had a very nice family wedding, and all the Swedes you ever found were there. And
when did you get married?
When? September.
So right after you moved back?
Right after I graduated, yeah.
Where was his family from?
His family lived in Milwaukee, but they were Kenosha people.
Okay.
Grandma was German. He had one brother, came for the wedding. It was just... It wasn't a fly-by-night situation. It was, you know, okay, we were going to do it the right way, and I was going to go to and work in New York, and mm-hmm. he was going to finish his university. But he didn't like that. So I said, okay, so we got married. Which, it's a real nice story.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's this really sweet young man who came back from the war, and after a certain amount of time, he decided that he and I were the right ones. And, you know, when you go to a college campus or any place where you meet a lot of people, it's easy to maybe make a mistake and tie up with the wrong party. But then it's always easy to meet the right one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that we were married, and here I am. So my husband passed away in 1979. He was 53. He had cancer. It's very lucky that... I could do something to keep the family going. I bought income property, like one or not one or two or three, but I have now ended up with three rental properties and my own home.
Mm-hmm.
But that was what kept the children in school,
mm-hmm.
and with their master's program. Because there was, money doesn't drop out of the skies, but it's nice to have a source.
Mm-hmm.
And once you, and there again, the children were very good, had good grades, so I had no issues.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else to tell you about me.
Do you mind if I ask you more questions?
Oh, not at all.
So after you graduated from college and got married, you guys moved back to Madison.
Yes.
Or you moved back to Madison, but he was still here.
Right.
Where did you live when you first moved back?
We lived on about 6 blocks from the square, right off of Johnson Street.
Okay.
In the an older neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
The home we lived in was rented by people who were also in school. It's still there. It's still a vital part of downtown Madison.
Mm-hmm.
You go down Johnson Street and you go north or,
mm-hmm.
you know. We lived there until... maybe 2 or 3 years later, and we went to a to an area where it was closer to the university. It was
mm-hmm.
about 2 blocks from the bottom of Bascom Hill.
Okay.
So we were right away from the square. I mean, we went towards the square. About 2 blocks, and right down that street was a nice little area. Roger had met somebody in business, and the man was so nice. Oh, he got us a rug because we needed a rug. I mean,
wow.
People, it's amazing how people will latch on to you and be nice to you
mm-hmm.
for no obvious reason other than they're nice. We lived there until we got an apartment out at the Truex apartments. We had, Karen was just an infant when we moved there.
Is Karen your firstborn?
Karen, my firstborn.
Okay.
And then a year and a half later, Bob came along, and then he was the next one to live there at Truex. And then we went on to this house with the two kids,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't have Jim for 6 years between Bob and Jim.
Mm-hmm.
They were 6 years difference. The school is right down the street from where we're sitting now.
Mm-hmm.
It has always been just the place to go. I never thought that there was another issue in terms of how the children would be raised,
mm-hmm.
because since I was a graduate of the university and Roger was a graduate, our long-range goal was, okay, then the kids will go to college here
mm-hmm.
in Wisconsin.
What did Roger study at the university?
He was a insurance. He became a broker. An insurance broker.
So he was able to study insurance policy as an undergraduate?
He did all that. I raised kids.
So when did he finish his training at the university?
He finished a year after we got married.
Okay. And then after that, he was working as a broker?
Right. And there is now in Madison a big change of the university. As you go up Langdon Street mm-hmm. all the way to the end, there is a addition slash change to a building that's been there forever.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked in that area, but that, of course, was so many years ago, long before he was dead and gone. But that was part of our life, too.
Mm-hmm. Did you raise your children bilingual as well, since you grew up speaking so many languages?
Now, you know, when you say I speak, I could throw out words mm-hmm. to make someone feel comfortable. If, mm-hmm. like, we had a Spanish mother and son who were part of the business in Mexico. And
a part of what business?
Of the business I worked for, Ohio Medical Products.
Okay.
Yeah, I worked for them.
Okay.
And the fact that I, like I said, knew languages helped.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we had to use it, but I could use it.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot to tell you about working.
Yeah, you. Yeah.
That was where I went to work about a month after we were married.
Mm-hmm.
I had to have a job.
Right.
And Ohio Medical Products is on the street going that way, towards Sun Prairie,
mm-hmm.
about 8-10 blocks from downtown Madison.
Okay.
There was this building. And I guess because I had good grades,
mm-hmm.
I was young, my personality, who knows why that man hired me,
mm-hmm.
you know, but he did. And I worked in the international department because I had some things in my background
mm-hmm.
that was very positive for him. And I stayed with them until Karen was born. And then after about a year, I went back.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had Bob, but I got an arrangement to have the children cared for
mm-hmm.
so that I could work.
Did you find someone to watch them in the house, or did you?
Well, you know, it depended on what the situation was. I could mostly, nobody, there was people that I could go to with the children, or mm-hmm. The best situation was when I could have someone who had a bent for taking care of children, but in mm-hmm. their own home.
Right.
For me, it was easier to have the children go to someone else's rather than I trying to do it in my own home.
Why was that?
Pardon me?
Why was that?
For logistics, we had one car. I couldn't walk from here to where I worked.
Mm-hmm.
The children, if they wanted to play tennis at school,
mm-hmm.
I had to have the ability to get from here to there
mm-hmm.
without disturbing the whole blasted family.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. By buses.
Mm-hmm.
I did have a friend who wanted to make a little money, so during a period of time, I used that friend as the person who brought me home,
mm-hmm.
you know, because my husband wasn't always available.
So would he take the car into work?
Yeah, he'd take the car.
Yeah. What type of car did you have?
I was going to say, funny you would ask that. Probably, we had a lot of Buicks. I don't know why we had a lot of Buicks. I have no idea, but we had Buicks. It was a comfortable life. The yard, as you can see by looking at it, is spacious. And the children used to just come. So it was not a matter of worrying about people for the children to play with. They just came. We had a nice influx of young people through their entire lives, which was very nice. Trying to think what else I can tell you.
What sort of work were you doing at Ohio Medical?
Well, I went to Ohio. The fact that, number one, they hired me, but I think it was because I had had a good background in terms of grades and what have you.
When you had all the work experience in New York.
Yeah, right. But that was in a retail situation. Here I am at an office building where they dealt with issues with companies. So I guess the fact that I could deal with people did it.
So were they selling medical supplies to different countries what you were involved in?
And they were manufacturing. There was a period of time when they went into manufacturing of things, and my ability to talk or respond to these people overseas. This is why I had a job. They hired me, and they liked the way I thought. So you get into a situation where you can solve a problem for a company. It doesn't have to be as written down. It can be an adjunct to that.
Do you remember what some of the projects you worked on were, or some of the
problems
you solved?
Oh, well, you know, I can remember one of the biggest things we did was we had a, what's the word I want to use? We had a push to do overseas shipments to countries we had never dealt with before. And that was the biggest thing when we as a company did that. And since I was the head of the international, that's what I did. I made sure that we could do what the company thought they'd like to do.
And this was during the Cold War, correct?
This was after, you know, like maybe, oh, what am I talking, 10 years later, 20 years, 15 years later.
So like during the late 50s, early 60s?
Yeah.
Do you remember what it was like during the Cold War in Madison? Because I know that Madison was one of the targets by the Soviets.
Yes.
Do you remember, were there fallout shelters? Did you have?
No, see, I don't have negative feelings about that era because, as I said, I lived right off of Langdon Street. I was two blocks from the base of the hill. So when I was in school, there was, I mean, you had very good student teachers who gave you all of the information you needed. And I never got the push to be negative.
About the Soviets?
About how we were dealing with stuff.
Mm-hmm. We as in the United States?
We as the United States. We as a country. We as a,
mm-hmm.
a society. You were exposed to how people thought, but it was never anything like they're wrong, they're bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say it was because of the people.
The people that were teaching you?
I think. I'm in my 80s,
mm-hmm.
but right now I say that these people that were part of the hierarchy of the teaching. I mean, you could have a teacher in physics
mm-hmm.
who really doesn't care about that girl from Staten Island, New York, but yet has to teach me physics because it's part of my course.
Mm-hmm.
I have to take it. I was impressed by the teachers that I got in contact with, or that got me, or
yeah.
that I had to have. These were, I had really good teachers.
What were some of your favorite teachers?
Of course, the design.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who, like I said, I had to take physics. I can remember when they told me I had to take physics. I thought, why? But I had to get this degree.
Mm-hmm.
You're young. You do what you're told. At least in those days, we did.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anything's changed that drastically. I think that. We try to bend to what way the wind is blowing. I can remember as my grandchildren, now this goes a couple of jumps ahead, but I can remember one day I spent with two of my grandchildren walking from the university to the square
mm-hmm.
and enjoying parts that were part of my life
mm-hmm.
back when I had been walking up and down State Street. And then now here they were, and it was a pleasure to be with them and to hear their attitudes about Madison,
mm-hmm.
what they were able to do in terms of schooling. And they have, like one of the grandchildren has got a master's from California. The other one has never gotten anything more than an A.
Mm-hmm.
So these are kids that are going to take advantage of and be used by people because of ability.
Mm-hmm.
And what a pleasure for Grandma to be wandering around with these two, you know.
Yeah.
Neat people. Really neat people. And so far, it's going well. I would hope that each one of us has different aspirations. I mean, I went away to school from Staten Island, New York in the 40s.
Right.
And here it is, beyond the 40s. I still enjoy going to the East Coast. I still enjoy going to New York City. I think it is so vital.
Mm-hmm.
It is so, has so much to offer. But I wouldn't leave Wisconsin except to take a trip, and then I could do. Is there anything else you might want to hear about?
Yeah. Do you know that I study the Soviet Union?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I study for history. And so that's why I was asking you the questions about what you remember post-World War II about the Soviets and the worries about...
See, I had no direct exposure to our interaction with the Soviets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you listen to what's being said, but you don't, if it doesn't affect you or affect what you're doing,
right,
you sort of put it on your left shoulder and smile a lot and go on to the next thing. And that's, I guess,
yeah.
You know, Gorbachev, you can think of the people who we dealt with back then, and not I can say Gorbachev back then, because things change.
Right.
And now with this ISIS situation in Europe, it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
You wonder... You wonder how the societies that are dealing with some of these impertinent people, impertinent sounds stupid, but that's how we as a country and or we as a city or we as whatever allow that to happen, that these people can be so invasive to others. You know, Iraq, and I know I'm not making any sense, but I can listen to the news.
Mm-hmm.
I can see the issues that are put on TV, but there's nothing I can do.
Mm-hmm.
Except hope that my president,
mm-hmm,
and the people that work with him do something to make it okay.
Is that the same sort of feelings you felt like during the Cold War? That,
see, I didn't. No.
We can talk about something else if.
No, I don't. The Cold War, that. It was just a to me, it was just a fluid time.
Right.
Where I went through grade school, lived with my parents. Okay, what are we going to do with her now? We'll send her to school.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a flowing thing. There was no... No... feeling that I should know more than I got,
mm-hmm,
at the local high school or the local group of people that I was exposed to. There was no...
Yeah.
Maybe it's because my parents were from another country. They were...
Did you worry about the safety of your family in Sweden during World War II?
No.
Okay.
No. And to this day, we are very fortunate. They like to come and see me.
Mm-hmm.
So this summer I had a couple. I am very lucky that they come. My cousin, who is now 89,
mm-hmm, Mona,
comes to visit.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
Yeah. We had her son and his wife this summer came,
mm-hmm,
then they went out to the West Coast, and then they decided, okay, we'll come back, and then they stayed here for a couple of weeks. So we're very, very lucky that these people are pleased to be with us.
Mm-hmm.
So I do get... thank you.
Because part of it is, like, as someone that studies history and the people of my generation that go back, there's the history books are always written of, like, oh, people that lived during the Depression and lived during World War II and lived during the Cold War, and they make it, you know, very concrete sounding that you had all these experiences because you lived through World War II or you lived through the Great Depression.
Oh, really?
And so that's why it's interesting to talk to you and find out, you know, because when you read about it or read the newspapers at the time, they talk about how everybody in Madison was, you know, wanting to build fallout shelters and how you had to have all of these air raids. And because that's what the local government was saying they were doing. You don't, do you remember if there was a fallout shelter at your work?
The society that I lived in, and you're looking at it, you know, I've been here since, and you know Karen, so mm-hmm. it's, Karen was a baby.
Right.
Okay, and she's now 60.
Mm-hmm.
So, I can remember the first day of school, I'd have to walk them down the street. I didn't have a friend who could do that because you didn't have that kind of wherewithal.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had to have something done, I would go with my husband early in the morning
mm-hmm.
to go to a doctor's appointment and then sit there and wait
mm-hmm.
because I didn't have the wherewithal to get a cab or what have you. Didn't have the money.
Right.
No, I didn't. Maybe I was so involved with my children or
mm-hmm.
my job that I let the other things slide by.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Because you have to exist, and you have to be sure that you're healthy and that the children are fed
mm-hmm.
and that you as a group can manage.
When you were living here in Madison after you got married, were you able to go visit your parents a lot, or did they come here?
They came once a year.
Okay.
I didn't get to. Once a year.
Would you exchange letters with them? And with your family in Sweden?
I would remember, of course, the holidays and birthdays and stuff like that. No, I can't say that we exchanged letters. Uh-uh. My mother, as I said, was a secretary and worked for a very nice firm. And did that for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
So she did very well in terms of her income. My dad worked at the Brooklyn Navy Yard as a carpenter,
mm-hmm.
which was good because he had steady work. And then he had an accident where he broke his leg. Mm-hmm. And ended up in the VA hospital on Staten Island for some time.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But they were real good to him, and, you know.
Well, and you said he was very involved with the union.
Yeah, yeah. And he was attached to the right groups
mm-hmm.
so that when he had an accident, they took care of him.
That's great.
Yeah, it was very, very good.
How long did you work for the Ohio Medical Supply?
I worked for Ohio Medical Products until I retired.
When did you retire?
I retired, and you're saying to me, when did you retire, Faye? I was 59.
Okay.
And when would you have been 59, Faye? Well, I was born in 28.
Okay.
So that's, I decided that at a given point that having income, property, and doing a lot of the fixing myself, as you know, Karen doesn't.
Yeah. So did you end up buying properties besides the house that you live in now after your husband died?
Oh, yeah, I bought. It was after he died that I bought stuff.
How did you decide to buy property?
Because I didn't know how I was going to get 3 children through the university and master's degrees. Because money doesn't fall on you.
Right.
So you have to figure out how are you going to get the money.
So how did you learn how to invest and buy property? Did you take a class?
I read books.
So you just went to the library and got books?
Yeah. I am fortunate in that I don't have difficulty dealing with people.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that off the top of my head, but that must be it. Because why would anybody deal with me
mm-hmm.
if I had this weaker background, you know? So what I did was I met people in different parts of what I was doing, and they'd say, well, have you thought about this, Faye? Mm-hmm. And no, I hadn't. And then they would push me in the right direction. It was all by chance, if you will, how I got from this piece of property to that piece of property to that piece of property.
So is the house on Prospect Place, was that the first property that you bought?
Yeah.
Were you driving around looking for houses to buy, or did someone tell you about that one?
It was a nice area, and you know, you think, well, this would look be all right, you know. I knew nothing. Mm-hmm. Let me put it that way. But I wasn't afraid to try. And I think that's what made it go. You know, you could buy on a land contract and not have any land to contract. If you're not afraid of working,
mm-hmm.
you can do just about anything. And I think that's the bottom line.
So did you find the property and then go to a bank to sort out the money for all of that? And
I didn't. I was going to say I bought on land contract.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have to go to a bank. I could do it between he and me.
Between the seller and you.
Yeah, right.
I don't know about land contract. Yeah. That's why I was asking.
Yeah, right. But like the building I own on North Livingston,
mm-hmm.
that I'm trying to think, did I do that one that way too? I think I did.
Do you remember what year you bought the Prospect Place property?
What year I bought Prospect Place? How very interesting of you to ask. It would have been 'cause Karen and Steve and their baby, who is now 30,
mm-hmm.
moved in the first floor apartment
okay.
from this other apartment I owned.
Mm-hmm.
And want to know when I did that.
So you owned another apartment before Prospect Place?
I owned Bob, my son and I owned a building together.
Mm-hmm.
In that same area.
Is this the one on Castle?
Castle.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Bob, okay. Karen is 60.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'd say 58 years ago. I don't know.
Okay.
Something like that. I've got it in papers.
Okay.
You know, it's just like...
That's like okay. I don't, we can, yeah, yeah. You can look it up. It's not...
Yeah.
But so was Prospect the first one that you had, or did you have Castle Place before Prospect? Do you remember?
I think I had Prospect first.
Okay. And I think I remember you telling me that it used to have, on the second floor, there used to be two apartments.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So the guy that sold it to you, was it a bootleg apartment? Like, was it an illegal apartment?
It was legal.
One? Okay.
Oh, yeah. It was two apartments. Okay, you go in the front door.
Mm-hmm.
From that point on to the front, you had the bedroom,
mm-hmm.
the front door,
mm-hmm.
the front bedroom, and the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
Okay.
And then across the walkway from the front bedroom, not mm-hmm. your bedroom, but the other one,
right,
was a door.
Mm-hmm.
And that separated the apartments.
Okay.
So then from that point on, you had the bathroom, the mm-hmm. other bathroom, and you had the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the kitchen for your apartment now
mm-hmm.
is in the closet.
Right.
Yeah, okay, so you knew that. Okay. Yeah.
Well, when I saw all the outlets
yeah,
in there.
Yeah. That's that. So, yeah, then I. Was it the city? Who? Somebody. Sensenbrenner across the street, I think, is the one who alerted me to the fact that I was going to have problems because I had these two apartments.
Mm-hmm. Well, because there's the two apartments on the second floor, one on the first,
right.
and then the garden apartment.
Right.
Okay.
So I think, and his kids were, they're now, of course, yeah, I think it was Sensenbrenner who told me. Nice man.
So what did the city do or say?
Well, they said you can't do that, so I made it one apartment.
Why couldn't you? Do you remember why you couldn't have two apartments up there?
No, I don't remember what it was, but it was, it's all written down, and I've got it in a pile of papers.
Yeah.
I've got piles of papers that you wouldn't believe.
It's a beautiful property. So you've had it. Can you tell me more about some of the tenants that lived there or how you ended up making?
Well, I had, you know, when I think about it, who did I give, who got the apartment next? I don't remember.
No, I know Karen told me that you've become friends with some of the
tenants. Oh, yeah, there was,
had.
There were. A young couple, but there were people that I became friends with in terms of, one woman married the fellow that lives on the corner of Prospect and the one going down the hill.
Washburn.
Yeah. He...
Mm-hmm.
And she used to be one of the tenants in the second floor of Prospect.
Okay.
But there again, you're going back to the beginning of time.
Yeah. Sorry.
And they own some property now down on Gorham Street.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, that's sort of like what they do.
Yeah.
I have no idea... She never became a teacher or anything, but then there's another woman who ended up, who I still write to.
Mm-hmm.
She ended up in California. And I'm not sure if she's still in California because my last letter came back.
Oh, no.
So maybe she was talking about going across to Hawaii area. And
okay.
I thought, okay, who knows? But, you know, you go on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
Nice people.
Um, So then after you had the Prospect Place, you were able to buy the property on Livingston.
On North Livingston, yeah.
How many apartments are in there?
Three.
Okay.
One on each floor.
What was it like?
It was a... it's a nice building.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice building.
How did you also find this one, just by walking around, or how did
I don't know who I talked to. Somebody talked to me. I'm trying to think.
It's okay. Your daughter said that you had actually been in the Livingston property when you were in college. Is that correct?
I had been there as a student for the woman who owned the property,
mm-hmm.
Mrs. Leindorf. And she had a get-together for tenants.
Mm-hmm.
And you invited for, I can't remember if it was lunch or brunch or whatever the heck it was. But there again, you were talking about this 20-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Who's wandering around town. And I was really impressed. Because keep in mind, I live on Staten Island and I have parents who are just regular parents.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no substance to... There's no substance to what Mom and Dad had.
Mm-hmm.
So for me to come and visit this house that's got a living room that's 38 feet long and
mm-hmm.
overlooks the lake. For me to do that is quite a big step in terms of how I look at things. But that's, Mrs. Leindorf. And then, I guess that she put it on the market. I don't know how, but anyway, I bought it.
Did you buy it from her?
Well, I bought it from her, whoever the person was who was in contact with.
Yeah.
Which is a riot, you know, now that you and I are talking, but
mm-hmm.
there again, it's in that pile of papers.
Yeah. What was it like? Did you run into any obstacles to buy these properties or to own them or find tenants?
Well, you know... You want to be, one of the things when you own property and you're going to rent to people, you have to meet the needs.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process of meeting the needs, you then can develop a good rapport with the people that you're renting to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's your problem as the owner to make sure that what you're doing is going to please the people you're doing it to.
Right.
And that's how you're successful. If you got to meet, if there's a window that has a crack in it, fix it. There's got to be a good relationship between the person who's renting and the person that's owns the property.
Yeah.
And if there isn't, it's bad.
How did you juggle, like, your children and also your job and also these properties?
You just do what you do. You do what you do.
Yeah.
I was really interested when Karen put that door in between, you know, because that's been there,
mm-hmm.
the archway into the bedroom, into the... There are different ways of solving problems, and you have to make sure that when you make a decision to do something, that it's right for the guy over there, too, mm-hmm. you know. Now, it worked out fine for you because you have a friend who has... But that can change, you know, in mm-hmm. time. It's nothing bad happened because we put that door in. It just made it more flexible.
Right.
In terms of people and what they need.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry I don't have all I'm telling you is this piles of paper.
Well, no, all of this has been really interesting.
Okay, all right.
So, do you think you could tell me more? Because you've lived in Madison for so long and I've only lived here for a year. Could you tell me more about how you've noticed the city changing? Because just in like the 1 year I've lived here, right, there's all these new buildings that are going up and I see how the university campus is changing. And can you talk about
that? Back in the, at the time I was at the university, the area that was most noted in terms of being the place to live was Hilldale.
Okay.
And there was nothing there. You know, then they built a shopping center, and then housing came. And that whole area out there became the place to be. Now, Roger and I looked at property out there.
To buy for yourself?
We ended up buying this.
Mm-hmm.
But I can remember we were looking for property, and I told Roger, I said, you want to look for property that faces north, that the backyard is looking south, and you want lots of land.
Yep.
The poor man didn't know what the hell. But that's what we got. Facing north, south. And, if there was an area that was on the rise up, it was the area around the northwest side of town. That's, you know, Hilldale and all the, to the southwest and to the, you know,
the Westmoreland area as well.
Right. Well, the Westmoreland area was there. So Westmoreland was the pivot point or the place you jumped off of to get to the new area, which was then Hilldale.
Okay.
And that whole more westerly place. So Westmoreland and that area there, they have some nice older homes that today people still have nice older homes in that area. But I was going to say that would be the door you opened to go to more. Do you want some more water?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Nice area. If you were to say to me, well, why did you buy here? Well, we bought here because we liked the property. But from a dollar and cents standpoint, we made a big mistake.
Why?
The value of the property on the north side of Madison is not what you would want or that I would want, because it's holding its own, but that's about it, you know. If I took this property and put it on out by Hilldale, it would probably be then a quarter more, or 25% more, because of location.
Right.
Yeah, but that happens everywhere.
Right. There was no.
You know, I mean, I got Prospect and Livingston sitting there on the lake.
Right.
I mean that.
That was great.
You can.
Were most of the houses that are in sort of as you're leaving the university and going towards the capital, like on Gorham and Johnson, and where your houses are, Were they single family homes
yes.
when you started? And then
yes.
when did they start transitioning to like student housing and apartments?
Okay, that business down, for instance, if you go down Johnson Street, they mm-hmm. have all those.
Mm-hmm.
10 years ago. Yeah. Because there are a lot of places where you can, what's the word I want to use? Where you can open up the front door and take out the foyer and end up with two apartments by going that way.
Right.
But I don't know if people think that way, but that's
how it happens.
It can be.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted a place, you could even go down Johnson Street or Gorham.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's property, it's just a matter of how it's used.
Right.
Yeah.
What was it like for you to have your children go to the same university that you and your husband went to?
Well, of course, you know, there again, I had that wonderful woman who taught me that if you want a good education, you've got to go to a good school and blah, 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 blah. And she never shut up. She was just a wonderful New Yorker.
Mm-hmm.
So full of it. And as far as I was concerned, that's, if my children are going to go to school, that's where they're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that funny that you can have this distorted, no, it was a good view. It was, I mean, you get off the ferry boat between Staten Island and New York City. And then you have to walk a couple of blocks to get the subway and whatever to go where. It's just amazing just to walk up the street and look at the banks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is us 150, 200 years ago, right down there.
In New York?
In New York. Now, see, I left all that, and you say, well, why did you do that? Well, because of Roger, but that's beside the point.
You seem very happy here.
Yeah, I was. And the children are, I'm very lucky because they are most attentive and drop in. Like yesterday, Bob came on his bike. I said, it's cold out. You shouldn't be biking. Mother, it's too cold to walk. Joke.
Yeah.
It works out all right. Is there anything else I can help you with?
No, is there anything else that you want
to
talk about?
No, I was going to say, you have to, you know what you have to do? You have to take my telephone number,
mm-hmm.
and you have to say, Faye, what about blah, blah, blah. The one thing you have to know is that my kitchen phone
mm-hmm.
is not well.
Okay.
So when it's not well, I walk to the bedroom and say, just a minute, and then I walk to the bedroom and get the other phone, and that's fine.
Okay.
So if you get a just a minute, it's not because I'm leaving you, it's because I'm going to where I can hear.
Okay.
Okay.
Can I ask you one more question?
Sure.
You talked about traveling in Europe.
Yes.
A lot. Where have you gone there?
Oh. Well, of course, to Sweden.
Mm-hmm. Is your cousin still there, Mona?
Mona's still in Sweden, yeah. In fact, this summer, Karen took a trip with one of her acquaintances who was visiting Sweden, and they had just a marvelous time. Yeah. All right, what?
So you've gone to Sweden. Where else have you gone?
Okay. I'm trying to try to put it in some order. I have had wonderful friends through the years who have decided that, like, let's go so-and-so. Let's have Faye go with us.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had a lot of let's go Faye go with us
mm-hmm.
visits. I've been to, and these are with friends that I've had here that I went to school with,
mm-hmm.
And their children are my kids' friends and what have you. Well, anyway, one of the first, I'm trying to think, if I'd gone to the UK probably 4 or 5 times,
okay,
and enjoy it just completely. I've gone to the UK and gone across the little river and ended up in France and done the tour of northern France,
mm-hmm,
and enjoyed it completely. I've been on a trip where I went with a friend again, and we went to France and then over into, not France, pay no attention to me.
Mm-hmm.
I started in
is it near France?
No, but I'm trying to think how I got, where did I go start from? Okay, we went over to France. Well, let's try that way. I've gone to France and then up, and then up till we get to the Spanish border.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're up at the Spanish border. Then what we do is we go from there up into you go up and over towards trying to think. We go over to the Alps.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm coming up the right side of France.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I'm going up till I hit Spain.
Okay.
And you're happy with me being in Spain?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then I go right. No, I go left. I go left to get over to the Alps.
Okay.
And then I'm over by the Alps, and I go up and down whatever. And then I go down into France. Not France.
Italy,
because otherwise I can't get over there. Okay, I'm down in Italy, and then I'm going to cut back across and get to the southern part of France,
mm-hmm,
because I have a friend who I worked with here in Omida who had a home and a husband,
mm-hmm,
and invited us to come. So you make this great big circle and then up and down and then down and then over. And here I'm back in France.
Okay.
Are you all right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm back in France. And we had such a lovely time with them. I've done trips like this now to make you just want to twirl around, but that's okay. Unfortunately, these wonderful, wonderful people that were such good friends,
mm-hmm,
each one of them at their right time passed on.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm in my 80s.
It happens,
and it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But when I think of some of the wonderful trips we had, my friend Wanda was a friend from college where I knew her just as we were going into the university. So mm-hmm, we both of us went through this people back, and she ended up marrying Bob, who didn't want to dance with me because I was too young.
Your husband's cousin.
My husband's cousin.
So your friend married your husband's cousin. And then did two of you stay friends, both couples?
And then we went Well, Roger was dead, and then we went on all these trips.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Let's have Faygo. Okay. And I think it was because Wanda was very comfortable with me.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob, in a like manner, was very comfortable with me. And we just had known each other forever, and we did things, and it was just nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have, Bob was, my son Bob was over here yesterday, and he was saying, he says, you know, I really, really would like to go to Israel and that area. I said, well, Bob, this is not a good time, you know. But he had been there just after Roger passed away. He took a trip. They had the same birthday. Roger and Bob had the same birthday.
Your son, Bob.
My son, Bob. So when Roger died, he decided that that's it. He took a trip to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked at a kibbutz for a while in then he went and looked at the, trying to think where he went after that. He worked in a kibbutz, and then he went up to, must have been Iraq or someplace like that. I don't know where else he would be. And then he went up to Sweden. He went from the kibbutz down here in Israel and then
mm-hmm.
works his way up. But he wants to go back.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he can talk his wife into it or not. I don't, you know, you don't. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. They should go. Karen will travel with friends because Steve doesn't like to go on an airplane.
Oh.
Steve doesn't want to go on an airplane. I can remember way back when they took a trip to Italy. But that I'm talking now, this is before Matthew, and Matthew is now 30, mm-hmm. the son. So they don't go that much over the air.
Is there anything else you want to share?
I would share anything with you. I just don't know what to talk about. I just... It's, there's nothing you can do about friends that are gone.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you have memories, you have beautiful pictures, but other than that, there's nothing. I found a picture last week, and I was looking for something else, and I found this picture of my husband and I when we were out on a date.
Wow.
I'm going to go get it and show it to you.
That would be great. Thank you.
For whatever reason, it had never popped up.
Mm-hmm.
We were out on a date.
Oh, that's a great photo.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
You can see the resemblance to Karen.
Yeah. I made that dress when I was in school. You could do things like go down State Street and go into a shop
mm-hmm.
that had sewing machines, and you could rent a sewing machine for an hour.
And you made yourself that dress?
Yeah. Because like I said, you know, that this was who I was.
So you'd wanted to go into fashion design? So did you... Did you continue to make clothes after you graduated?
Oh, yeah. Karen never had a coat
mm-hmm.
that I hadn't made by the time she was 18. So she,
wow.
Yeah, that's how it goes. Sorry about that. Yeah, isn't that great?
It's a great
photo. Isn't he gorgeous? God. I've got, my head is just crammed with, you know, a little bit. I can remember when we went between France and Spain.
Mm-hmm.
going north, these beautiful roads. So what you got to do is just put your money in a big bag and just carry it around and wander the roads. There's so much to see and do.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll get that in your future, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's bound to happen.
Yeah, I was in Russia this past summer.
Yeah.
So that's mostly where the traveling I've done.
Did you like it?
I did. I liked it a lot. So it's my fourth time going back there.
Oh, really?
So
what part of Russia did you go to?
This summer I lived in Moscow, but okay. I also was in St. Petersburg and Smolensk. Smolensk is a very, very small town.
Yes.
Near the border with Belarus. And then, and other times I've either been in Petersburg or Moscow for most of it.
How is your language?
It's good.
Is it?
Yeah. So I studied Russian in college, and so I can speak fluently.
Good for you. Well, then you have your it's all set up for you.
Yeah. So when you travel in Sweden, or when you did travel in Sweden, can you still speak Swedish?
Enough to survive.
Yeah.
Yeah, enough to survive. Because, of course, I don't use it.
Right.
And
did you teach it to your children at all? Did Karen learn any phrases from you growing up?
Well, they have enough to survive, but they can't sit down with you and talk, no.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. That's what it is.
You know, it's just the way we operated. I think of, all the things I've done and said, but I just don't know what would be of any value to you.
All of this, it's been very, very interesting to talk with you, and I can always ask you other questions later
if there's
something you think of.
Oh, please. Please. God, that way at least I feel like I've done something.
You've done so many interesting things.
There again, the one trip I'm trying to think, I went on it with my cousin, and we met in southern France, and then went over to Gibraltar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going this way, but that's the way you went from there to there. So much to see and do. Now, Mona, having lived in Sweden and in the area, and her husband was a pilot.
Oh, wow.
So they went around all over hell and back. And she has seen a lot,
mm-hmm.
and could put me in the right direction if I were talking about something. But now she's to the point where she can't see,
mm-hmm.
and she has difficulty walking. And that's sad, because I can get around with George here. And
is George what you call your walker?
Well, Karen, how do I say this? Karen gets very, very gnarled up when she comes here and I'm not using George.
Okay.
Yeah. Really, 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 really bad. And I understand.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to be good, but I'm not always. I mean, as long as there's something to hang on to, like in the kitchen, I am allowed to be in the kitchen and wander around without George.
Mm-hmm. Why did you name your walker George?
I don't know.
It's a good name for it.
It's just, I mean, you know. As long as I can live here and, go up and down the stairs to the basement,
mm-hmm.
do the laundry, then lift the laundry and bring it up, or go out. Now, for instance, if I go out in the yard, I can get down the stairs,
mm-hmm.
but I can't get from here to there without something to hang on to or something to give me balance.
Right.
And it's the balance thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel hesitant to. But Karen is so thoughtful, but there is no way in hell I can walk around without this.
Without George.
Without George. How to die young. Don't let Karen know.
I won't.
No. It's really sweet, but, and my son is the same way. The other one's up in Minneapolis, mm-hmm. and he's been lucky in that he's the youngest. He doesn't see my everyday activity because, of course, he's that far removed. So he is much more liberal, is the word I want to use, than my son and Karen. Karen and Bob are like, she's born August 11th and he's born January 25th. Mm-hmm. So there's that year and a half in there. And they were really close as little ones, and even now when she's 60 and he's not quite 60, mm-hmm. they're close. And they want mother to use that. I can't think of what I haven't told you, but there's so much. I could be talking constantly, you know. Each building had little issues that I had to worry about. Mm-hmm. I've had tenants who have been here and then bought an island over there, you know. You just... Mm-hmm. You get so involved when you're with people. Now, I know that Karen will be close to you because you're doing things together. Mm-hmm. And she'll get more of a feeling of you than, say, the guy over there who she doesn't see but once a year.
Right.
Or twice a year, you know.
Well, and I know that I think it was 2 years ago that you guys redid the kitchen in my apartment, and Karen said that you helped with all the cabinets.
Yes.
Was that fun? What did you do?
Oh, I scraped them all and primed them and painted them.
They look beautiful. God.
Oh, well, yeah, but it had to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the sort of thing. Like this winter, not this winter, God. This summer I did windows.
Mm-hmm.
I did the windows for the porch on the first floor.
Did you clean them or paint them or?
I scraped and did reputtying and painting the whole thing. But I'm a carpenter's daughter. This is what you do,
mm-hmm.
you know. And Karen and I were talking about that. I said, come spring, we have to start early. I said, there are so many windows
mm-hmm.
that I've done over the years, you know. Right. But you just do what you have to do. Yeah. Now, for instance, she told me about the carpeting that was put in the hallway
mm-hmm.
at your place.
Yeah.
That's new.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, is there anything more I can tell you or give you?
I think that's it. Okay. Thank you so much for sharing your memories.
Oh, you're certainly welcome, my dear. So, is this...